Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us your children. Thank you for redeeming us and giving us your grace and mercy. Even and especially when we don't deserve it, you still are good to us and you're loving to us. Help us to see, Father, through your word, how you desire us to show your love and your grace to those in our family and to those in our circles of influence. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we are in chapter 45 of Genesis for this final week of This Is Us. And in this series, we've seen Joseph and his brothers go from a relationship of hatred to a relationship of love and reconciliation over a number of chapters in the book of Genesis. And in chapter 45, last week, very briefly, we recalled that Joseph had just revealed his identity to his brothers by saying, "Hey, it's me, your brother Joseph." And we see his brothers, after he reveals this to them, that they are in absolute dismay. So Joseph attempts to comfort his brothers in chapter 45, verse 4, by telling his brothers, "Hey, come near to me. Come near to me." Now, if your brothers sold you as a slave and then revealed to you that he is in fact standing in front of you and he says, "Come here," would you be a little cautious? Maybe thinking, what's he going to do? What is going to happen? I mean, you may try to take a swing at him. I mean, you may say something, if you were Joseph, like, "Hey, I've been living in this foreign land for years, and God made everything work out, but that doesn't mean I have to be happy about it." But this is not the posture that Joseph is showing and exhibiting here. Instead, Joseph offers comfort and forgiveness to his brothers. In verse 5, he tells them, "Hey, don't be distressed. Don't be angry because you sold me as a slave." And we already see in chapter 43, verse 16, how Judah has expressed that the brothers have had extreme remorse. They've had a heart of repentance about selling their brother Joseph as a slave. They knew it was wrong. So this is where this story gets good. This next section is relating not just strictly to family, but in general, how we are to care for not only our family, our friends, our coworkers, our classmates, our loved ones, and our family at large as brothers and sisters in Christ. Joseph says in chapter 45, verse 5, "God sent me before you to preserve life." So do you see what Joseph's saying? He's saying, God had a purpose for me as Joseph being sold as a slave by his brothers and sent to Egypt. Joseph was supposed to be there so he could save people from the famine. And God used his brother's sin to do his saving work. And this is kind of how God works. He works evil for good. Even if somebody desires for something to be evil, God can turn it on its head and work it out for good. And this brings a new meaning to Romans 8:28. Where it says this, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." So what this text is showing us is that God has a far greater plan for our lives than we can ever comprehend or realize. And yes, he will work those difficult and perhaps even evil moments in our lives for good. It also shows us God uses those difficult, challenging times for his good and for our good. Now, hey, in the middle of them, we can't always see that. It's kind of like when you're on a roller coaster and you're maybe a little scared going on the roller coaster. I did that with my daughter. I was like, oh, look, we can see all of Dallas. She's like, oh. And then like it starts going, she's ah. She, you know, and tears are coming. I'm like, what have I done? And then like at the end, she's going, that was fun. You don't know what life looks like until you get to the end of that challenging situation and you go, maybe it wasn't fun, but I see how God's working it out for his good. So look at verse 8. Joseph tells his brothers, it's not you who sent me here, but God. Would Joseph have ever been the Lord of Egypt without being sold as a slave? If he had just worked the fields with his brothers and kind of been the brother that they would have loved to forget, would this have turned out the way it did? I mean, would they have been able to get food, or would Joseph have just been walking to Egypt with them to try to ask for food during the famine? You know, they would have no means. It would have been different. It's fairly certain life would have looked very different had Joseph not been sold. It may have not worked out the way it did. So what a great lesson and reminder this is for you and me as we live and dwell in Knoxville, Tennessee. See, you may not be in Knoxville, Tennessee on your own accord. You may have never seen yourself living in Knoxville, Tennessee for as long as you have now, if ever. But here you are. I'm sure if you reflect back on the moments of life that you have, you can see the hand of God in each and every situation. How the hand of God has led you to where you live. How the hand of God has led you as you serve in your vocation. How the hand of God has led you as you interact with your family, and in many other moments throughout your life. See, God puts us right where we need to be, even if we can't see it at the time. Okay, so here's what happens next with Joseph and his brothers. Joseph tells his brothers, you need to move to Egypt. He's going to provide for him. Hey, the famine's still going on strong. Just move over here with me. I'm going to provide for you. And so he tells them, hey, go get packed. Hurry up. Bring your father Jacob back. And so before they leave, they're hugging, they're kissing, they're weeping, they're talking together. And Pharaoh even gets in on the party. He hears Joseph's family's around. He goes, hey, what can I do to help? And he takes care of them by providing the wagons for their travel. So we see Joseph, even Pharaoh, caring for Joseph's brothers. Then Joseph is reunited with his father Jacob and all his brothers. He cares for his dad and his brothers and all their families. This is a great lesson for us. We are called by God to do what it takes to care for our families. When it comes to caring for our families, we have to be people with a do what it takes attitude. I've seen people lose their jobs and then get picky about what they're willing to do to put food on the table when food on the table is needed or the bills need to be paid. It means, men, if we have to take a job that you would consider beneath you, even for a season, to take care of our families, then that is what we have to do. We have to put our pride aside, and we have to just do what it takes for our family. We have to have a do what it takes attitude. If that means we have to figure out how to make it to those doctor's appointments for our family or parents or kids, or we have to figure out what we have to do to care for our family to make sure they're getting what they need and they're being provided for and they have appropriate health care and all those things, we got to figure it out. We need to do what it takes to care for our families. So we pursue the virtues that Joseph exhibited: humility, wisdom, forgiveness. We pursue the virtues that the brothers exhibited as God changed their hearts, being willing to say, you know what, I'm wrong, please forgive me. Take care for our parents. Take care of our parents and family and loved ones. Be what it takes type people. Now, I'd love to tell you this is where the story ends, but if that was the case, we would skip over all the good stuff in Genesis chapter 50. We find in chapter 50 that Jacob, the father, has just died. So Joseph mourns, and then look what happens. The brothers see that Jacob, their father, is dead, and they start to get nervous because they begin to ask things like, what if Joseph tries to pay us back for all the evil that we've done? I mean, who's going to stop him? Our dad is dead. And this is actually a valid argument that the brothers have because of this. Have you ever seen in families when the matriarch or the patriarch dies? And I've seen this happen in life, where the matriarch and patriarch dies of the family. And all of a sudden, those couples that were maybe having a little hard time in marriage, they were just kind of staying married because they didn't want to disappoint grandma or grandpa or mom or dad. And all of a sudden, before the ink is dry on the death certificate of that matriarch or patriarch, they're like getting a divorce. And you're like, what happened? Like, all these family members in our family are like, they're dropping like flies. What happened here? Well, they didn't want to hurt grandma or grandpa or mom or dad's feelings. And so they just waited until they were gone to do what they really wanted to do. Have you seen it? I've seen it. Well, this is kind of where the brothers are thinking. Maybe out of respect for dad, he did nothing to us. But now dad's gone. So what is Joseph going to do? Well, as a result of this fear, the brothers once again go to Joseph and apologize to him for what they've done. And verse 50, chapter 50, verse 17 states, Joseph wept as they said this to him. And in verse 20 of chapter 50, Joseph states once again, hey, brothers, you're forgiven. And he says something that maybe you've heard in this story. This is a very familiar verse in this story. If you've ever studied Genesis and Joseph here, he says, you may have meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. He reminds them that he's going to continue to provide for them, and as a result, he's comforting them. He's speaking kindly to them. He's not going to attack them. He's not going to go after them. Now, yes, he has tested them before, but he's showing them love and grace. So what can we learn from Joseph and his brothers? Well, we can follow Joseph's example of granting forgiveness. We can also follow the brothers' example of asking for forgiveness. And notice Joseph never took revenge here in this section. He tested them to make sure they're not the same guys that they were when they sold him into slavery, but that their hearts were actually changed. And they were. They were changed by God. Joseph knew God worked through the wickedness shown to him through his brothers. And actually, God's word tells us we're to do the same thing. We're to do good to those who have hurt you. Romans 12, verses 20 through 21 says this: if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Is that easy? No. But it's what Jesus calls us to do in his word. So how should we treat our family that has not been kind to us? Our friends or coworkers, classmates? We overcome evil with good. We share the love of Jesus with them in very real, tangible ways. As hard as that is, and I know it's hard, but that's what we're to do. Joseph shows us all what it means to live a life of reconciliation, of forgiveness. And Joseph was a picture of Jesus. The evil of Joseph, the brothers, how they treated Joseph, it was meant to bring Joseph death. But instead, it brought good. And Jesus, the evil of Christ's death, was meant by God for good. Look at what it says in Isaiah 53, verse 10. It is the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And Jesus, just like Joseph, refused to take revenge on those who have hurt him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 says this: when he, meaning Jesus, was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So when Jesus was hurt, he didn't hurt people back. He just loved them. He came to serve and give his life so that you and I would have life. Joseph served, and God used his life so he could give life by providing food. Yet God used Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection to provide us life eternal, life forever. Mark 10, chapter 45, verse 45 says this: even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And also, God supplies every need we have. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So what has this series taught us? Families haven't changed much since the days of Joseph and his brothers. We still can hurt one another with our words and actions. We still can say and do things that can damage. And we still can say and do things that we may regret later. However, there's also times where we can go to one another and we can say, when I said or I did this, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And the other party can say, I forgive you. And there can be reconciliation and redemption. That still happens today, and not just in crisis moments. It shouldn't just happen when somebody's on their deathbed or at somebody's funeral or something like that. It can happen even in the middle of the struggle, even in the middle of the fight. God still can redeem, and he's still at work in our lives. So for you and I, as followers of Jesus here at Grace Lutheran Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, let's be countercultural. Let's actually admit when we are wrong. Let's ask for forgiveness. Let's admit we're wrong. And when people do that to us, may we say these beautiful, healing words: I forgive you. Not that's okay. I forgive you. And we love as Jesus loved, because the love Jesus has given us, may we return that love to our family, our friends, our coworkers, our classmates, those in our circles of influence, so that they may see and know the love of Jesus by our words and our actions. Friends, this is us. We who love God and who love one another because of the love that Jesus first gave us. Amen. Please rise.